Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, how are we doing this morning? All right, how many of you felt like you slept more last night than you did Sunday night? How many of you feel like you slept less last night than you did? Okay, all right. That's the thing that when I would send my kids up here for camp and we would come pick them up on a Saturday, and almost inevitably they get in the car and they talk for a few minutes, and then it would just get like mysteriously quiet in the back. You look back there and you're just like, that. So that's probably going to be your story on your way home, because you'd be like, I got like a 4-hour car ride back to wherever, so I'm going to take like half of that and kind of get caught up on the, because I'm so hopped up, I'm so crazy from stuff going on with camp that I need a car ride home to refresh. And so I hope you're having a blast so far. I would be remiss if I didn't say, hey, can we thank our worship team in the evenings and in the mornings for leading us in worship. Because before I started teaching school and teaching Bible classes to middle schoolers and working with high schoolers in worship ministry, I was a worship pastor at a church for a long, long time, and so I know what goes into this. And so you guys have cabin leaders and staff who are doing a gajillion other things, and then on top of that, they are taking time to make sure that they lead us in worship. So can't thank them enough for doing that twice a day and helping us get into this mindset, kind of clear our headspace and get ready to receive from God's word. And so there's this like weird website I just discovered it this morning that you can find out where the hottest and the coldest place on earth is every day. And so I was trying to find where the coldest place on earth was, and it told me that there was a place in Antarctica that is minus 78 degrees Celsius, which that's really, really cold in Fahrenheit. But I still said that's wrong, because the coldest place on earth was this chapel. Before you guys walked in here, I walked in here, I was like, good grief, it's 12 degrees below zero in here. So I appreciate y'all's worship kind of warming up the place in here. Hey, let's do a little bit of recap here. Sunday night, because we're trying to make sure that we remember words or phrases that kind of help take us along in Colossians. So Sunday night, our first word was fruit, all right. Yesterday morning, our word was will. Last night, our word was center, all right. You guys are getting it. So we're gonna pick it back up where we left off. We got Colossians 1:24 through 2:5. It's gonna show up a couple verses in up here on the wall as we follow along. Let's jump in here. Paul, starting at verse 24, says, "I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too." Quick pause there. Gentile just means back then there were categories of people. You had the Jews, and then anybody who wasn't a Jew, it didn't matter where they were from, where they were born, whatever, they just kind of got lumped into a group that was just called Gentiles. So that's all that means. Anybody who was not a Jew, according to the Bible, was considered a Gentile. So if you're like, who are these people? Okay, so we would say that we are all Gentiles, unless you were born ethnically Jewish or grew up in a Jewish family. So that, I don't know if that's anybody in here. Okay, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. All right, now we're into chapter 2. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and the church at Laodicea, and many other believers who have never met me personally. Remember we talked about that first night? These people don't know Paul. They had a mutual friend. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Okay, a lot going on there, a lot to read. But here's the word. Here's our word for the day, because our first question is always, what? All right. So what? Oh, you know what? If you turn it on, it works. There's me being an old guy again. All right, here we go. What? Today's word, spoiler. Today's word, spoiler. You guys know what spoiler is, right? How many of you all were here at camp 2 summers ago when they had the whole thing about the spoiler-er? You guys remember that? And they would put the video up, and then it, and there was this like blurred face out, and they'd be like, this is the spoiler. And then some of y'all are like, oh yeah, I was up here a couple summers ago and did that. So, and do you remember what the spoiler-er was doing? He was ruining stuff for everybody. Because there would be like the movie, and then the spoiler would interrupt the movie, and the spoiler would tell everybody what was going to happen. Don't y'all hate it when that happens? Like, you've been waiting, like, okay, I've been busy this summer, and I'm going to, like, set aside, okay, this Wednesday, I'm going to set aside a couple of hours, and I'm going to pull this video up on, I'm going to pull this movie up on Hulu or Netflix or whatever you stream off of, and I'm going to watch this, and then, like, 2 hours before you do that, someone's just like, oh, I heard you were watching, and here's what happens. And you're just like, what the heck do I even bother watching this thing for? You already ruined it. Thanks, jerk. So, when we talk about spoiling something, it's somebody gives the secret away to something. And now, hopefully, we try, if we go to the theater, so let's say that you actually go to the movies with a bunch of your friends, and there's like 5 or 6 of you, and you all go see this, and then, and you guys, everybody's mind is blown because there's some sort of twist, and everybody kind of has this agreement when they leave the theater, just like, let's all shut up and not ruin this for anybody else. And if you have a friend who likes to go out and ruin a movie for somebody else, you shouldn't be friends with that person. So, everybody enters in with that agreement, like, okay, everybody shut up. Don't tell anybody what happens at the end of this. And if you run out of a theater that's got a really long line, and somebody says to the back line, like, hey, Thanos gets mad and he throws Gamora off a cliff so he can get a soul stone. Sorry, that's a spoiler from 2018 if you haven't seen that one yet. So sorry if I ruined that one. You're like, oh no, I was going to watch Infinity War this summer. Sorry, that's part of it. But if you're that person who walks out and says that, everybody who's waiting in line is about ready to beat your rear end because you just ruined part of the movie for them. So we don't like to have things spoiled for us. But remember, I've said this a couple times, Paul is writing this letter to a church in a city that thought that it didn't matter what you were studying, is that there was this thing where you had to get this secret knowledge and you had to work to uncover the mystery of something. And so some people started to say, well, if you want to figure out the mystery of what who God is and what God wants for your life, when we talked about what God's will was, then maybe you need to say certain kinds of prayers, or you have to do certain rituals, or you have to go into these certain meetings, and then maybe you'll get the secret. Maybe you'll get the mystery of what's going on. And Paul's not having it. He plays the spoiler. He plays the spoiler. Let's talk about some famous spoilers. Let's talk about some famous spoilers here. Now a lot of these, there are movies that are not camp appropriate that have spoilers. So I had to dig deep and find some spoilers here. So this shows how old I am. I grew up in a time where The Empire Strikes Back was a spoiler. How many of y'all seen The Empire Strikes Back? How many of you have seen all the Star Wars movies? Okay, all right. Those of you who haven't, that's okay. Jesus still loves you, and so do I. But those of you who have seen it, I grew up in a culture, and I grew up in a time where The Empire Strikes Back was a spoiler, because you find out at the end who Darth Vader really is. Now, here's the difference. All y'all grew up already knowing that because you're like, well, yeah, I watched episodes 1, 2, and 3, and I know exactly who Anakin Skywalker is. And so by the time I get to episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, then that's not a spoiler to me. But that was a huge spoiler to me at 4 years old when I saw that movie. I was like, what? That's who Darth Vader is? That was a huge spoiler. And thankfully, there was no internet back there to ruin the movie for everybody. But that was a huge spoiler. I'm not even going to ruin it for y'all. You're going to have to watch it and find out. Okay, up here, top right-hand corner. You guys know what this one is? Yeah. Cross the Spider-Verse. A couple summers ago. And that's kind of a scene that kind of spoils it. Right? How many of y'all, when you saw that in the last like couple minutes, and you're just like, oh, shoot, I know where Miles is. Oh, no, no. And then it just goes credits. And everybody's like, what? Now I got to wait 2, 3, 4 years for this thing to wrap up? Because then we find out like, oh, no, Miles went to the wrong place. Ah. So that's a spoiler. Now, if you walked out of the theater and be like, oh, guess what? Miles went to the wrong dimension, and now he's like has to fight himself. Somebody's going to like throw their popcorn at you. Thanks, jerk. Bottom right-hand corner. What's going on here? Frozen. Oh, remember you're watching that movie, and then you get to that scene where you find out that Hans really isn't who you thought Hans was? That's kind of a spoiler, isn't it? You're just like, Hans ain't a good dude. He acts like he's a good dude, but he's not a good dude. So these are some spoilers. And here's the deal. Look what Paul does. Paul's talking to people who are just like, shh, don't spoil it. Don't spoil the mystery. Everybody's got to get this secret knowledge. Everybody's got to find out who Jesus is. And Paul's just like, I don't care. Here's the spoiler. Jesus lives in you. Here's the spoiler. You want to know what the secret is? Ain't no secret. Jesus lives in you. You don't have to do all this extra work. You don't have to say all these special prayers. You don't have to go to all these services and do all this work. Here's the secret. If you are following Jesus, he lives in you. Look, he says it twice. He says it two different places in this passage. Did you catch it? And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. Spoiler! Jesus lives in you. And then look a few verses later. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. And look, he doesn't even make it mysterious. Here's the mysterious plan. Jesus himself. That's it. Jesus is the spoiler. Jesus lives in you. There's no mystery to the gospel. He uses secret and mystery and then says it's neither of these things. It's Jesus. So, if we're talking about the gospel, if we're talking about the scripture, if we're talking about Jesus, Paul's like, we're not keeping secrets anymore. So, before Jesus appeared on the earth and everybody is waiting for his arrival, then that's kind of mysterious. They're all like, when is what is called the Messiah? When is the Messiah going to appear? And then the Messiah appears. And then once Jesus appears and does what he does, it is no longer a secret anymore. You guys following me? Paul says, like, hey, for generations and for centuries, it was a secret. But guess what? Jesus has come and done his work, and he has fulfilled God's law, and he was crucified for my sins and for your sins. And then Jesus was raised back to life, and Jesus went back to the Father. And now anybody who believes in what he did, spoiler alert, Jesus now lives in you. So there ain't no mystery or a secret to be found or to be discovered. Jesus is that secret. So that's our what. And we spend a lot of time on what. Which ultimately leads us to question 2, which is always, so what? Why is this important? Who cares? Here's why it's important. Here's why it's important. We don't need to have anything else in our lives. Jesus is enough. So Paul is talking to these people who thought, well, it can't be that simple. You can't just say Jesus is enough. You probably need to follow certain rules, or you need to pray certain prayers, or you need to give certain things, or you need to do certain stuff. And Paul says, Paul says, if you are following Jesus, that is all you need. He is sufficient for you. You don't need anything else. Jesus came and did all of that work so that we don't have to do that, because we couldn't have done it anyway. Does that make sense? If God gave us three rules, we couldn't follow them. Remember, the way this whole story got started back in Genesis is God gave how many rules? One. And was that rule followed? No! So if we can't even follow one rule, then how are we crazy enough to think that we could follow hundreds of rules in the Old Testament? And Jesus comes in and follows all of those rules and doesn't sin, so therefore he fulfills all of God's law, because we couldn't do it in the first place, and then dies for our sins. And so if I'm following Jesus, then that is enough. That is all I need. Now, don't get this twisted, and I'm glad this is being recorded, so any parent who's out there listening to what's going on up here, I want you to hear this as well. This does not mean you can leave camp and go home, and then when there's like, well, hey, we're going to go to church this Sunday, and you're like, nah, I'm good. That old dude up at camp said that Jesus was enough, so I don't need to go to church because of that. And you guys are sitting around before dinner, and somebody says, hey, would you like to bless the meal? And you're like, nah, I'm good. That old dude up there at camp said that Jesus was enough, so I don't need to pray before this meal. That's not what we're talking about either. Jesus is enough, but because your relationship with Jesus is enough, it makes you want to do those things. You guys hear what I'm saying? It's not I do these things in place of my relationship with Jesus. It is because of my relationship with Jesus that I desire to be in fellowship with other followers of Jesus. So, youth group is beneficial to me because of my relationship with Jesus. It doesn't replace my relationship with Jesus. Spending time in God's Word doesn't replace my relationship with Jesus. It is a byproduct of my relationship with Jesus. It is part of that fruit of Jesus's work in my life. Prayer isn't a replacement for my relationship with Jesus. It is fruit of my relationship with Jesus. You guys see the difference between that? It comes from that. My relationship with Jesus makes me want to do these things. When we were talking about bearing fruit the other night, and we said, we can't produce joy on our own. We can produce happiness on our own. Do you notice that happiness was not one of the fruits of God's Spirit? Because we can get happy about stuff. Something shows up in the mail with your name on it, you get excited about that. Somebody drops off a gift for you, and it's all wrapped up nice, and it's everything that you ever wanted for your birthday. You get happy about that stuff, but then once the newness of that goes away, you're no longer happy about that thing anymore. Or if your basketball team wins one night, you're happy. But if they lose the other night, are you still happy about that night from two nights ago? No, you're mad because they lost tonight. Well, who cares? They won two nights ago. I don't care. That happiness is worn off there. So we can produce happiness on our own, but we can't produce joy. So my relationship with Jesus is producing that kind of stuff that we just can't do on our own. So things that we talked about, like having patience with other people, having self-control around others, being kind to other people, having gentle spirit around other people. We just can't do that stuff on our own, but our relationship with Jesus produces that kind of stuff. So when we say that Jesus is enough, he is enough. Man, I remember what it was like in 7th and 8th grade. It was hard. I don't know how it was for you, but it was hard for me. 7th grade was all right, but man, 8th grade was the worst. Hated it. And it was because I was at a new school, and so I was taken away from my friends at the old school, and so I'm at this new school, and I'm just trying to figure out who the heck I was. I'm trying to find out who I am, and I didn't have Jesus in my life at that time, so I don't know, I don't realize that Jesus is enough for me at that time. So I'm trying, I mean, Is my identity found in my group of friends? Is my identity found in my schoolwork? Is my identity found in my grades? Is my identity found in me being part of the football team? Is my identity found in being part of the quiz team? Yes, you heard correctly. I was part of the football team and the quiz team. It was a weird combination back then. But I'm trying to find all of these things, and there was Jesus sitting the whole time and saying, Kevin, that was going to be enough for you. And I missed it. So, when you guys start back, wherever you start back this fall, you're going to feel that pull in different directions to say, if I can just get in with this group of people this fall, I have been trying to get in with this group who sits at this table in the cafeteria, and if I can just get in with this group, then that will be enough. Spoiler, no, it won't. And if I can just get in this class, if I can just get in this class with this group of people, and if I can just do this well on my grades, and if I can just get these kind of grades in this class, then that will be enough. No, it won't. That will be satisfactory for about the 60 seconds that you get your grade card or you look at that online and you get affirmation from mom or dad, like, hey, good job, way to go on that. And that's going to be okay, and then guess what? The next quarter is going to start, and then you're going to have that pressure again to make sure that you repeat that process. And that's not going to be enough for you. It's not going to satisfy you. But Paul is saying, if you are following Jesus, that is sufficient. Now again, that doesn't mean that you can go and start school and totally blow off your classes and totally flunk all of your classes. And then when your parents are like, what's up with your grade card? You're just like, oh, Jesus is enough. That's not what we're talking about. You can't blame me on that one. I want you to do well in school. But I don't want you to place everything that your existence is in that. Or if I get back to school and all I got to do, man, I was a reserve last year on the soccer team. I coached soccer I coached middle school soccer at my school. And if I was a reserve last year, but there were some eighth graders and they've moved on and now some spots have opened up. And if I can just get in the starting lineup, if I can just be a starting midfielder for the soccer team, then that is going to be the fulfillment I need, and it will not. It will be fulfilling until the one game that you let the one kid get by you and they end up scoring a goal and everybody's looking at you like, where you been at, bro? What's your problem? And then it's going to be problematic. So I'm not saying this to bum you guys out. I'm saying this to free you from that, to know that your relationship with Jesus is sufficient for you. So even if you don't do great a certain quarter in a certain class, and even if you don't have the greatest game out on the soccer pitch one afternoon, and even if you're not in that group at school, that's going to be okay because your relationship with Jesus is going to carry you through that. You feel me? You get what I'm saying? Okay. Jesus is enough for those things. He is enough. That's what Paul wants the Colossians to know. It's not about saying the right kind of prayers. It's not about how many times did I attend church service this month. It's not about how many times did I pray before I went to bed. Those are all good things. But that is not going to unlock this relationship with Jesus. Jesus is going to be enough for you with that stuff. Okay. That leads us to our final question, which is what? Now what? So what do I do with this? Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for whatever, reminding me about school. You've been doing that every session now, talking about school is going to start back up. Now what am I supposed to do with all this? Here's what you're supposed to do with it. Be like Paul. Spoil it. Spoil it for others. Spoil it for other people. You know what? Jesus might have you get this message today because you've been struggling with this. And Jesus may be wanting to free you from these kinds of pressures to do certain things, thinking that that is going to be the ticket. That is going to be the thing that is going to make everything great in your life. Because Jesus may need you to share this with somebody else. Jesus may need you to share this with somebody else in your class. Jesus may need you to share this with somebody else in your youth group or at your home to say, hey, man, what you're doing is it's good stuff, but it's not going to replace your relationship with Jesus. It's not going to replace your relationship with Jesus. If you were here with me last year, we put up a picture of a basketball player who was number one in his high school class going into his freshman year of college. And the guy's name was Harry Giles, and he was supposed to be the number one basketball player in America, which was fine until he blew out his knee. And then he still got a scholarship to go play basketball at Duke University. He was in the same class with Jason Tatum, if that kind of gives you an idea who he was in there playing with. So he and Jason Tatum were supposed to be on the same team there at Duke. And so Harry Giles blows his knee out his senior year, and Duke University is like, no, you can still come play for us. And so he gets at Duke and gets a few games in after he's rehabbed his knee, and guess what he does? Blows out his other knee. So, anybody heard the name Harry Giles in the NBA? When we talk about the top 10 basketball players in the league right now, we don't put his name in there. No, because sometimes things happen. So, I don't know Harry Giles' heart. I don't know if he was like, oh, all I got to do is make basketball the number one thing, and once I get to the NBA, well, that's great, but what if something happens? Do you see what I'm saying? So, we got to have this relationship with Jesus is going to sustain us through anything, good times and bad. So, spoil it for other people. We are giving you permission to spoil something. Now, you go see Superman or Fantastic Four later on this summer and you start spoiling it for people, don't be friends with those people, okay? They are not out for having a good time. So don't be that person, but spoil the heck out of this. Spoil the heck out of this to say, look, man, the gospel is not mysterious. It's not a secret. This is what Jesus wants. He wants you to want him. He wants you to place him as number one in your life. And if you're following Jesus, that's enough. So spoil that for other people. Think about that this afternoon. Tell you what, how about I close us out in prayer? We'll get out of here a few minutes early. And you can head to your next activity here this morning. But let's close this out in prayer. God, thank you for the work that Jesus did so that we don't have to do that. That Jesus is enough. God, thank you that you are not, while you do mysterious things, what you want for us is not mysterious. Just like when we talk about that your will for our lives is for us to honor you and produce fruit. That's the key. And that Jesus is at the center of that. And that Jesus is the secret. And Jesus is the mystery. And that if we are building our lives around Jesus, that is enough. Lord, middle school's a tough age. We're trying to figure out who we are. We're trying to figure out where we belong. We're trying to figure out what we're good at. We're trying to figure out who's going to be our friends group. Who can I trust? Who can I share my heart with? And I know that they're not going to spoil it and tell everybody else. And so, Jesus, let us know that at the heart of this, you are enough. That even if other people let us down, that even if we don't do well on a test or a grade one quarter, or if we can't crack the starting lineup of the volleyball team or the soccer team, that you are enough for us and that you will sustain us by your word and by your spirit. So God, I pray that that would be an encouragement for somebody in this room who really needed to hear that, that you are enough. And we thank you that you're enough. God, whatever we're doing this afternoon before we meet again, would you remind everybody that you are enough. Jesus, you are enough for us. And so thanks for our time here together. We love you. We thank you. And everybody said, amen. All right. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again and have a great rest of your day.